This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday's sermon was based on the first 27 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul addressed the issue of spiritual gifts. That is, special abilities and skills that God has given to Christians. Now, of course, not all Christians have the same gifts. As Paul said in today's reading from 1 Corinthians, he said, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all evangelists, are all teachers, are all working of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret?" Obviously, the answer is no. The fact is, we all have unique skills and abilities that God has given us. But whatever gifts you may have, you are to give God all the glory for them because He's the one who gave them to you. And in addition, whatever gifts you may have, God wants you to use them to serve others and to build up the body of Christ. Now, why did Paul have to address the issue of spiritual gifts at all? Well, as we learned last Sunday, some people in Corinth had the sinful notion that some spiritual gifts were better than others, and if you had those better gifts, that meant you were a higher level Christian and more important to God than others who didn't have the same gifts as you had. However, Paul condemns this thinking as being sinful and wrong. First of all, he stresses that we can't boast about a gift we have because, again, that gift was given to us by God, and so God gets all the glory ultimately. Secondly, Paul points out that we should not use our spiritual gifts to exalt ourselves above others. Instead, we are to use our spiritual gifts to serve others in Christ-like love and humility. My friends, we need to pay close attention to this because we're just as guilty as some of those Christians in Corinth. Think about it. Christians today are constantly tempted to compare themselves with others, to compete with others, to draw attention to themselves, to use their abilities for selfish reasons, and to think that certain skills somehow make us better than those who do not have those special skills. But thanks be to God, we have forgiveness for all this sin through Jesus, God's Son, who did not serve Himself, who did not exalt Himself, but instead sacrificed Himself for us in our place of damnation. We need to repent of our sinful foolishness and receive forgiveness from Christ, who used His gifts to serve us and who gave us spiritual gifts so that we can serve others. Now, I'm not going to take time today to review all the spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because I did that last Sunday. So if you want that information, you can either listen to it on our webpage. My sermon will be up there in a bit. Or you can get a manuscript of my sermon. I'd be happy to print that out for you. Simply put, the point that Paul is making in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that having a particular spiritual gift does not make you better than others who don't have that particular gift. We are all equal before God, regardless of what our gifts are. However, if that's true, then how are we to understand today's sermon title? My sermon title is Desire the Greater Gifts. And I took that right from Paul's words at the end of our reading where he says, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts." Now, why does Paul say this if he also clearly teaches that having a certain gift does not make you greater or better than others? Well, simply put, when Paul talks about the greater gifts, he is not talking about gifts that make people greater or people better than others. Again, we are all of equal value before God. So he's not talking about gifts that make people better than others. Instead, When Paul talks about greater gifts, he means certain gifts that are beneficial to us, more beneficial to us than others. Certain gifts that are the foundation for Christ's church. You see, these greater gifts are greater because they point us to Christ, and they give us the knowledge of Christ's truth and His will for our lives. Obviously, if we don't have Christ and His Word, then all the other gifts don't mean all that much, do they? For example, one of the spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 is the ability to miraculously heal a person of some physical illness or disability. Now, last Sunday, I mentioned that very few people were given this gift. Some of those few people were Jesus' own 12 apostles. You see, Jesus gave His apostles the miraculous power to heal. Why? As a sign to people that Jesus had given them His authority to teach and preach His word for all future generations. However, you need to know that the apostles could heal people only when God allowed. And you know what? Sometimes God did not allow the apostles to heal people. Why? Because God knew that some people were focusing only on the miracle and completely ignoring the apostles' message. You see, receiving physical healing doesn't do you much good if you ignore the apostles' teaching about repentance and forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. You see, even though receiving physical healing is a great gift, you have to remember it's by definition temporary this side of heaven. Even if God does heal you in this life, you will eventually grow old and die anyway. So the far greater gift is the spiritual healing that comes through the hearing of God's word. That's what guarantees that you will be resurrected and live with God forever. But if you have physical healing in this life and reject Jesus, then the physical healing doesn't do you much good, does it? That's why Paul says, but desire the greater gifts. Paul begins today's reading from 1 Corinthians with these words. In the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then, workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Did you hear that? Paul starts out by mentioning three special offices in the church. He mentions apostles, prophets, and teachers in that order. These offices deliver the greater gifts that you Christians are to desire more than anything, because these gifts point you to Christ and the forgiveness you have through faith in Him. So then, what are these offices and why are they important? First, Paul mentions the apostles. As you know, Jesus chose 12 apostles. Of course, Judas betrayed Jesus and killed himself. And so Judas was later replaced by a man named Matthias. You can read about that in Acts chapter 1. In addition, Christ also chose other men to be additional apostles, such as Jesus' half-brother James, who wrote the book of James, and also the apostle Paul, who wrote many of the books in the New Testament. They were chosen apostles as well. Now, in order to be a foundational apostle, you had to be chosen by Christ Himself and taught by Christ Himself. And that means you had to have met the resurrected Jesus Himself. My friends, Jesus gave His teaching to His apostles, whose teaching became the foundational teaching for all future generations of believers. You see, we have the apostles' foundational teaching in the New Testament scriptures. We should desire this gift more than anything because this teaching is foundational for us as Christians. Secondly, Paul mentions the prophets. Now, these prophets refer primarily to the Old Testament prophets whom God used to write the Old Testament scriptures. However, there were a few other special prophets during the New Testament times, John the Baptist, for example. However, the reason the prophets are mentioned second to the apostles is that the prophets pointing ahead, they pointed ahead to the coming of Jesus, whereas the apostles were taught by Jesus in person. And the apostles were given the full teaching of Jesus, whereas in the Old Testament, there was still truth that needed to be revealed clearly. Nevertheless, these prophets are a great gift. They're a great gift because they show us how God's plan of salvation unfolded throughout history, beginning with creation and the fall of Adam and Eve, all the way up to the birth of Christ. In fact, you can't even understand the apostles' teaching unless you understand the teaching of the prophets that came before. Their teaching is foundational as well. Now, at this point, I need to stress that we do not have living apostles and prophets today. They're all dead. They're all with Christ in paradise, awaiting the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come when God's Son returns in glory. However, even though we do not have living apostles and living prophets today, we do have their teaching, which the Holy Spirit has given us in the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, which is God's word of revelation to us, which is the foundation for what we are to believe and how we are to live. With that said, the third office Paul mentions are teachers. Now, this is just another word for pastors, who are also called shepherds or bishops or presbyters or elders, depending on the context. Now, Paul mentions pastors and teachers third because we are not the same as the apostles and the prophets. You see, God did not use me to give foundational teaching to His church. God did not use me to write a book of Holy Scripture. I have not seen the resurrected Jesus in person like the apostles did. Nor was I taught by Jesus Himself like the apostles were. However, teachers or pastors are still great gifts to the church because God uses us to proclaim God's word to His people in Jesus' name. God uses us to teach you the truths of Holy Scripture. God uses us to expose your sin and call you to repentance. God uses us to point you to Christ and His work for you. God uses us to forgive your sins in Jesus' name. And so you should greatly desire to receive these gifts from your teacher or pastor. Simply put, God has given us His apostles and prophets whose teaching and writing are God's foundational truth for all generations of Christians. In addition, God has given His church teachers or pastors, whom God uses to teach His people the truths of the apostles and prophets, especially the truth about His Son and His saving work for us. So simply put, when Paul tells us to desire the greater gifts, what he really means is that we should hunger and thirst for the knowledge of God's word given to us through God's apostles and prophets and teachers. Now you might wonder, what blessings do we receive when the Holy Spirit moves us to desire these greater gifts that are given to us through God's apostles and prophets and teachers? Well, here again what Paul writes in our reading from Ephesians 4. Listen. It was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. With that said, I'd like to point out that in today's reading from Corinthians, Paul does go on to mention other spiritual gifts and how these can be a great blessing. However, what we must desire more than anything are the greater gifts, which are the truths of God's Word, especially the truth of who Jesus is, God's Son, our Lord and Savior, who gave His life for you and has forgiven all your sins and has given you the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life with God. My friends, Jesus is your Savior. That is why your greatest desire should be to read and hear and study Holy Scripture, written by God's apostles and prophets, because Holy Scripture is the word of your Savior who wants to bless you with His truth. Jesus is your Savior. That's why your greatest desire should be to attend God's services on a regular basis, where God's pastors and teachers feed God's sheep with His Word, given to us by His prophets and apostles who point us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You see, my friends, the reason the Christians in Corinth were having so many problems is that they were no longer desiring the greater gifts. In fact, they were like those people Paul described in our reading from Ephesians 4, when he said, infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. The Corinthians were no longer desiring the greater gifts of the truths of God's Word. Instead, they were celebrating their sin, and they were listening to false teachers who were saying what their itching ears want to hear. Sound familiar? We live in a culture where many people, even in the church, no longer desire the greater gifts of God's Word. Instead, we have many people in our culture, even in many churches, who are affirming what God condemns and gathering around themselves preachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear rather than submitting to the teaching of the apostles and the prophets. When this happens, my friends, we will be led astray from Christ and His Word and we won't even realize it. The good news is that Jesus rescues us from this. Today, through Paul, Jesus says, desire the greater gifts. Build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. Now we're all guilty of listening to the lies of this world. We're all guilty of doing what we know God says is wrong. The good news is that we can come to Jesus with our many sins and know that we are forgiven because of His great sacrifice for us. You see, Jesus died for you because He greatly desires you. Jesus wants you to be His child forever. Jesus does not want you to be led astray from Him by the lies of this world. Therefore, the same Jesus who died for you, the same Jesus who forgives you all your sins, this same Jesus says to you today, desire the greater gifts. In other words, remember God's apostles and prophets and teachers who are God's gifts to you. Gifts to you through whom you receive God's Word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.